Today's daf in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. We begin on Omer Aleph, about six lines down with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Beshamay Yomim. Beshamay says, and here we'll be surprised, Beshamay is going to have the Mekel opinion, which the Gemara will then change around according to some man the Omer. My Beshamay Yomim, Aviri Me'ala Shulchan, that's almost a klipin. You're allowed to remove from the table on Shabbos the bones that are left over, and the klipim, and the shells that are left over after the meal. Rashi explains, you'll have to do this with your dayim, me'al ha-shulchan. You can do this directly with your hands from the table, according to Beis Shammai. He said, somos, Rashi says, are caution or hard bones, she'ain ruin lekelev. They're not even eligible, Roy, for a dog to eat. They're not something that an animal will even eat. Tosus disagrees. Tosus says, lo k'perish ha-kuntris. I disagree with Rashi. He says, Rashi says that they're not ruin l'achilas kelev, but he says, no, they have to be royal l'achilas kelev, because this is talking about the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon boy, l'chol ha'pachos, even Rabbi Shimon holds no muktzah in general, says it has to be at least l'maichol behema, has to be good enough for an animal to eat, and that's why you're allowed to move it. In any event, the klipos, Rashi explains, are like the shells of the gozim of walnuts, the less lul Beis Shammai muktzah, and this is allowed because according to this understanding of our Mishnah of Beis Shammai, they don't hold for muktzah, they hold like Rabbi Shimon. On the other hand, Beis Hillel, the Mishnah continues, and says Beis Hillel holds that you're not allowed to do that with your hands, but what you can do is masalik es ha-tavla, you can go and lift up the table. The girsa that we have in the Mishnah is masalik. On the side it says the girsa is magbin. You either remove or you lift up the table. The tavla is like a kli, and therefore you're allowed to lift that up. So masalik es ha-tavla kula, you lift up or you remove from the table this tavla, this tray, umenara, and you can shake off these atzomos and klipim into the garbage, wherever you want to shake them off to, and this way you're not allowed to go and touch it with your hands, but you can remove them from the table in this fashion. Rashi says that this tavla, yesh toras kliola, has the status of being a kli, and you're allowed to move a kli, but you wouldn't be allowed to go and move the atzomos and klipim with your hands, because Beis Hillel, according to our Girsa, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the more machmir opinion. So again, this is unusual. Beis Hillel is the more machmir opinion than Beis Shammai. This is not listed amongst the kulos of Beis Shammai versus Beis Hillel, and that's why we're going to have a Girsa in the Gemara from Rav Nachman that says he flips it around. Mishnah continues and says, Ma'avirin. Now the Girsa that we have is Bilufnei. The Bach says it should be Me'al. So you're allowed to go and remove from the table Ma'avirin Me'al HaShulchan Peirurin, the crumbs that are pochos mi kezayis, that are smaller than a kezayis. Rashi explains, we call shekein kezayis, and certainly if they're larger than kezayis, as the Gemara is going to explain, because this is considered meichel behema, if it's meichel behema, so therefore it's not mokza. So you're allowed to go and remove these crumbs from the table, with your hands even. And the seyar afunim, the seyar shel afunim, this, what's literally the hair of the afunim, Rashi explains this is the sharvitin, something like a pod, so the afunim are peas, so you're allowed to remove the shells of the peas, the pea pods, and likewise with sa'ar adoshim, these hairs or the shells or the pods of the lentils or the adoshim. Again, because this is not muktzah, it's considered meichel behema. If it's meichel behema, you're allowed to go and remove it. It's not muktzah according to everybody. Now the Gemara says, what about a svok? A svok is a sponge. So it depends. Im yesh lo or beisachiza, if it has some sort of a leather handle, in other words, you're not touching the sponge itself, you're touching the handle, so then mekanchebo, you'll have to use this to wipe away something. Rashi explains, you can wipe away the tavla, you can clean up the tavla, and you're not concerned, even if the sponge is wet, about schita, about squeezing it out, because you're not doing it directly, you're holding onto the handle, and therefore there is no problem of squeezing in this situation. But if it doesn't have this handle on it, then you're not allowed to go and wipe it if it's moist, because when it's moist, we're concerned that you're going to go and do schita and squeeze it. As Rashi says, kisha ochazo, when you're holding onto it, it's going to be squeezed with your hands, nischat, bein etzbiosa, between your fingers, and that's why you're not allowed to do it. Now, there's a machlokas on the gears over here. The gears that we have with the parentheses would be v'chachamim omrim ben kachu ben kach mekanchin. That's the girsa on the side. That's what the girsa of some of the mefarshim have, that the chachamim disagree and say, no, even if it's without a beis achiza, you would be allowed to go and do this. The girsa that the Bach has, and which has it in our parentheses, which means that it should be deleted, would read it, ben kach u ben kach, nita b'Shabbos, that even if it is not with a beis achiza, you'd be allowed to handle it on Shabbos if it's dry, and the Eino Mekabel Tumah. And since it's not a kli, the Svog itself is not a kli, Rashi explains, it's not made out of wood, Eino Kli Eitz, Velo Beg, it's not made out of a garment of cloth, Velo Socks, not made out of the material that's like goat's hair, Velo Matech, it's not made out of metal. So it doesn't fall into any of the categories of a kli, Shem Mekabel Tumah, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah, it doesn't have the status of being Mekabel Tumah. Now, Morris starts off and says, as I already mentioned, Amar Rav Nachman Rachel says, "Anu ein lano ela be shamek Rabbi Yehuda ube silik Rabbi Shimon." We have flipped around the shittos in the Mishnah. Rav Nachman says, "Be shamai is the more machber opinion. Be shamai is the one that holds like Rabbi Yehuda. There is Mokza, and Beis Hillel is the more makel opinion that holds like Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, you have to switch around the appellations in the Mishnah. The first part would really be Beis Hillel, who's the makel opinion, and the second part would be Beis Shamai with the more machber opinion." Then we quote the Mishnah, Mavirin, again, so we have his Milifnei, but the box says it should be Me'al, Mavirin, Me'al HaShulchan Perurim. You're allowed to take the crumbs off the table. Morris says, Messiah Lil Rav Yochanan. This is in accord with the opinion of Rav Yochanan. What did Rav Yochanan hold? The Rav Yochanan, Perurim, Shem, Behem, Kizayis. If you have small crumbs, also li Abdom Biyad. Even small crumbs are considered significant, and you're not allowed to go and throw them away. You're not allowed to destroy even small crumbs. Bread is so important. And therefore, you're not even allowed to go and destroy small crumbs. As Rashi points out, Midiktoni, Mavirim, Biyadayim, Velo Zarklu. It doesn't say just toss them away. It says you should be dafka, go and take them with your hands. So therefore, that goes in accord with Rav Yochanan said that even small crumbs are important. And certainly, as Rashi pointed out, Koshkein, if it's more than a kizayis, that's considered important, and it's not muktzah, and no problem with getting rid of it. Mishnah then is quoted as saying, Seyor Shalafunim, if you have these hairs, or literally these pea pods, afunim is peas, and again, the seor we said is like the sharvit and these pods that the peas come in, or the seor shel adashim, the lentil pods, all of these are food for animals, and therefore, you're allowed to go remove it from the table. So Gemara asks, Mani, who is the Tana of this Mishnah? Who is the one that says this? Rabbi Shimon, the Lesley Muktzah. It must be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who says that these aren't Muktzah, because otherwise, they would be Muktzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and you wouldn't be allowed to move them. So, we're saying that this part of the Mishnah is definitely Rabbi Shimon's opinion. But then, scroll down. Ema Sefer, read what we read after that. It says, Svog, the sponge, so you're only allowed to go and use this sponge, im yesh lo beis achiza. So then, Mekanchebo, if you're not holding the sponge with your fingers and squeezing it out potentially with your fingers, you're holding it with a handle, so you're not squeezing it out, so then it's allowed. But im lav, if it doesn't have this beis achiza, we said, Ema Kanchebo, you're not allowed to go and hold it with your hands because you may come to squeeze it with your fingers. But you certainly aren't interested in squeezing it. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Asonu Rabbi Yehuda, Tamar Dover Shenu Miskavin is Otzer. Rabbi Shimon would say that who cares if you squeeze it out or not? You're not interested in squeezing it out. So you would be allowed to hold it even without a Beis Achiza. So the fact that the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to hold it, Tamar, if it doesn't have a Beis Achiza, you're not allowed to hold it, it must be that it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Tamar Dover Shenu Miskavin is Otzer. So the ratio of this unattributed Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, and the Sefer of the unattributed part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. That doesn't make any sense. We normally like to keep an unattributed Mishnah to be one opinion. So Morris says, actually, in fact, Baha, Afilu Rabbi Shimon Moda. No, this second part of the Mishnah with the Beis Achiza, that even goes according to Rabbi Shimon for the famous reason we said multiple times, Afilu Rabbi Shimon is Moda, it was the Dov Shimon Miskavin, it was a Psik Resha, the Abaye V'Rava, the Amar Tavaya. We had Abaye and Rava both said that Moda Rabbi Shimon Bipsik Reisha Velom Yomus, that if it's something that's going to automatically happen, 100% of the time it's going to happen. If you hold on to this wet sponge with your fingers, some of the water will come out, because when you hold the sponge, you're squeezing it unintentionally. So even though you have no interest in the water coming out, so Dov Shimon Miskaven, nevertheless, if it's automatically going to happen, it's a Bipsik Reisha, then even Rabbi Shimon would say that it is also so. Therefore, the entire Mishnah is really Rabbi Shimon. He's the one that says that there's no muktzah by the Afunim and the Adashim, and he's also the one that says that if you hold it without a Beis Achiza, it's a Psik Reisha, and therefore even Rabbi Shimon says that while it's a Dov Shem Miskavin, you're not allowed to go do this. Then the Gemara says, Hani Garinin de Tamrei Armriyosa. You have these seeds. Rashi explains these are seeds of Tmarim, of dates, and they're animal fodder, and the ones that are animal fodder are Armriyosa. These dates are Aramean dates, and Rashi explains that these are lousy dates. Tamarim roim, heim, umachilin hatamarim atzman l'behema. Humans don't even eat the dates and leave the seeds for the animals. They leave the entire date for the animal. Hilkach, agab imayu l'behema nami kaimi. Therefore, from the onset, these Aramean dates are considered animal fodder, both the date and the seeds, because you're going to give the whole thing to the animal. The animal doesn't spit out the seeds. The animal eats the whole thing. So these Aramean dates are considered food for animals, and therefore the seeds aren't muksa, because l'chatchila, the whole thing is mukhan for a behema. However, the good dates, Uda Parsiyasa, Rashi explains, these are tmarim tovim, these are good dates. They ain't machila no salvehema. Hey, you don't give this good stuff to the animal. You eat the dates. No, the pits are left over. On a weekday, you give it to the animal. But since they were not muchan for the animal when they were intact, so therefore they're not considered muchan, and it's also you're not allowed to pick them up and give them to the animal on Shabbos. Whereas it says, what do you do with them? So Shmuel, metaltalu agavrifta. You have these leftover dates, so Shmuel would take these dates and put them on a piece of bread. When he would take them out of his mouth, however he would get rid of them, he would put them on a piece of bread, and then, because you're allowed to move the bread, he could move the date and throw the date in the date pit into the garbage. Now, we have a simon, Sharnam Shfaz Simon. This is the name of all the different Amoraim. The Shin, for example, was Shmuel that we just said, and then each of the next ones is not necessarily the first letter of the name, but is considered a significant part of the name that this mnemonic works. In any event, Shmuel, Latimei, why did Shmuel say that you can use bread for such a fashion? After all, bread's a chash of a thing, and it's a bizri for the bread, so this is Shmuel l'shitasa for the Gemara in Brachos, the Amar Shmuel, also Adam called Tzarcha v'pas. Shmuel says that bread is for your usage. Rashi explains, Mishtamishbo, you're allowed to use therefore bread for what purpose you'd like to. The Ein Kamishum Bizoyon, it's not considered something that is a bizoyon for the bread. Bread is such a chosh of a food, you shouldn't be mevazeh. That's why we don't throw bread, for example. You're supposed to place bread in front of somebody else. You don't toss bread. As opposed to an apple, you'd be allowed to toss to somebody because it won't get ruined by tossing it. So the bread, even though it won't get ruined, it's a chosh of a thing. We don't toss bread. So one might have thought that you can't put this pit on the bread. So Shmuel says, no, that's not a problem. You're allowed to use the bread for cold charcoal. You need to do this. So therefore, you can go and use the bread to carry the pit. So that's what Shmuel would do with these leftover garinin from the tmarim, the parsiyasa. Mora says, what would Rabba do? Now that's the gear that we have on the side. It says it should be Rava. In any event, that's the ratio of the mnemonic. It works for Rabba or Rava. So Rava, metaltaluhu, he would go and put this pit, agav lakno demaya. He would move it along with this bucket of water. Right? It actually says, sofel shomayim. I'm not sure if he means he put it in it or somehow he put it on it in some way. He would do this in this fashion. And since you're allowed to move the lakno demaya, you can move the pit. The next part of the mnemonic is the nun for Rav Huna Berei Rav Yeshua. The nun is for Huna, so Rav Huna Berei Rav Yeshua Obdlu Kigrav Shori. He would pile up all of the pits into one place and make it into a disgusting pile. So Rashi explains Sovron Lufonov Kishochal Atmarim. He would place each pit in front of him when he ate these dates. Achinim Osos Beinov until it became disgusting to have this pile of pits in front of him. And then, since it's a Grav Shori, it's a disgusting thing, it's allowed to be moved. The note on the son, Mipnei Kigraf Shari, Vinosul Behema. Now, he's allowed to move it because it's a disturbing, disgusting thing. If you have a dirty baby diaper in the middle of your living room, you're allowed to move it even though it's muktza because it's disgusting. So, too, he would create this disgusting pile of dates, now of the date seeds, and now he'd be allowed to move it. More questions this and says, Amalei Rav Ashi La Meimar. So Rav Ashi questions Ameimar. That's the mem in the mnemonic, Ameimar. So Rav Ashi says to Ameimar, really, are you allowed to do this? L'chatchila? L'chiosin graf shori l'chatchila? You're right. If you have a dirty baby diaper over there, fine. But you're not allowed to go pile up all the diapers in one place. So you're, now it's dirty. I can go take them away. So you're not allowed to do that l'chatchila. That's his opinion. Then we continue with the opinion of Rav Sheshes. That's the shin in the mnemonic. Rav Sheshes zorik lu belishne. Rav Sheshes would go and spit it out from his mouth. This is like the old days when the watermelons used to have seeds. So people wouldn't be allowed to pick out the seeds of the watermelon. They would eat the watermelon and they would spit out the seeds from their mouth. So too, with these dates, you would eat these nice good dates and the seed that was left over in your mouth, you would spit it out. Zorik lu belishne. He would take it to the side of the table, Rashi says, al eivra shulchan, and put it over there. This way it wouldn't bother anybody, and that's how we would get rid of the pits from being in front of him on the table. The pay in the mnemonic is Rapapa. Rapapa zorik lu achari hamita. He would throw it behind the couch. Achari hamita, behind the bed that he was lying on. Shumesavala, he was lying on these couches or these beds that they would eat on. So that's what he would do. So this way it would get out of the way. That's how he would get rid of these seeds from these parasiosa dates. And finally, the last opinion which in the demonic was the Zayin, is Rav Zechariah ben Avkolos. Shoya machzir ponov, he would turn his face away. Achorimita, he wouldn't just toss it there. He was doing it in a very tzviistic way. He would turn around and politely, Zorkun, spit them out of his mouth and put them over there. It's interesting that he did this in the most humble way, in the most tzniistic way. The Gemara tells us in the famous story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa that it was Rav Zechariah ben Avkolos, because of Anvisanuso, because he was such a humble person, that led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because they didn't know what to do with the animal that the emperor, the Caesar, had sent to the Beis HaMikdash, that they made a special mum on its lips. So there was a question. If we accept this, because according to us, it is a mum, but according to them, it's not a mum, so we accept it because we don't want to dishonor them, so then people will say that you're allowed to bring a mum onto the Mizbeach. And if you don't accept it, so then the Caesar's going to be very, very upset, because to them, it's not considered a mum. So they asked Rav Zechariah ben Avkolos, and he spoke up because he was so humble, he spoke up first. He was really the God of Adar. He should have spoken up last, because this was Dinei Nefashos. And therefore, he spoke up first because he was so humble, and he said, we can't do anything over here because it's going to lead to a takola. And because of that, they didn't accept the karban, and Nebuch, that led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara tells us, Mishum and the Sinuso, because he was so humble. So here we see, he was a very humble person. He wouldn't spit it out in front of everybody. That's pasnish. But he would go and spit it out, turn his face away, and then spit it out, and did this in the most sneeristic way. With this, we conclude the 21st perek. Hadron Alecha no till Odom Espino, Hadron Alecha no till Odom Espino, Hadron Alecha no till Odom Espino. And we turn to the Amud Beis, and we begin the 22nd perek. The Mishnah begins, Chavis Shenishbira, if you have a barrel of wine that's broken, then we had previously that you're not allowed to go bring a lot of containers, but what you are allowed to do is save three meals. Matzilin himena mazon shalosh sudos. And Rashi points out here, since it's one broken barrel, you can bring even afilu kelim harve. Dila b'chad mona aminam b'chol kisya kodesh, the kama deboy matzo. So you're allowed to go and save over here. If it's Friday night, you can save three meals. It was on Shabbos morning, they could save two meals. It was on Shabbos afternoon, you'd only save one meal. If you hadn't had that meal yet, here you haven't had any of the three meals yet, so you can save three meals worth of wine that you need. And the Omer L'Chaim, you can tell your other people, your friends, take as much wine as yourself as you want, because I can't have it, and therefore you might as well save it and use it for yourself for your Shabbos meals. Kol echad mazon kimusudos, where actually says every person would be able to go and save for themselves three meals. The reason why you can't save more is because we're concerned if we allow you to go save more, the guy's going to do all sorts of things. He's going to bring kalim from, of course, the Rosh Hashanah. He's going to carry them in an inappropriate way, or he's going to fix the barrel because it's broken, and he may come to do all of these yisurim because he's bol al mamono. So therefore, we limit him what he can do, and this way he won't be so bol al mamono. Finally, the Mishnah tells us, but you're not allowed to go and use a sponge. Rashi explains, you're not allowed to go put a sponge there so the wine will all drip out onto the sponge, and then you'll pick up the sponge and you'll squeeze it out into a kli, because you may have to do this on Shabbos. Natig Mori says, likewise, in sochetin and saperos, lahotzi mehen mashkin. Likewise, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take an orange, you're not allowed to take a fruit and squeeze it in order to get the juice from the fruit. You're not allowed to make orange juice on Shabbos. V'im yotzu me'atzmon asur. And if the juice comes out on its own, so it's also going to be asur. I didn't do anything. But no, you're not allowed to go and get benefit from this, because once you make see that you have some juice, you say, I'd like to have some more. Only a little bit squeezed out, I'm going to squeeze it some more. And therefore, midi rabbanan, there were goes there that even when it came out, this is like the Paris notion, Rashi says, the fruits that fell off the tree. So you're not allowed to use them if they fell off on Shabbos, because you may come to enjoy them, and then you go pick out some more. And that you're not allowed to do. So it's exeri the rabbanan, even if they came out on their own. Im yotzu miatzman, nevertheless, it is usur. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda omer, no. If this fruit was originally intended for eating purposes, so the juice is considered part of the solid fruit. And therefore, hayotzim is mutter, because you weren't planning on squeezing this juice. And therefore, any juice that came out is considered like ochel, it's like a solid, and therefore, you're allowed to eat it. We're not concerned you're going to squeeze it, because this fruit wasn't for squeezing. However, if this was a fruit that was intended not to be eaten as a fruit, but to squeeze, so then, hayosmi and also then, we are concerned that if any comes out, you'll squeeze the rest out. And therefore, in this situation, Rav Yehuda qualifies the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says that you can't squeeze no matter what, and it comes out, you can't use it no matter what. And Reuven says, no, not so fast. He says, if it was a food that you were going to eat, a fruit that you were going to eat, then even if juice comes out, you're allowed to go and have those juices. We're not concerned you'll squeeze more. But if it was made originally, this fruit, for squeezing purposes, so then if some comes out on its own, you're not allowed to use it. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, chalos devash, you have these honeycombs, shiriskon, you chop them up, before Shabbos started, the Erev Shabbos, so therefore the honey starts to flow. Rashi explains, Mi'achai shemeruskin, after they have been chopped up, so hadvash zov me'ilav, the honey comes out on its own, mitoch ha'shaiva, comes out from the wax, from the honeycomb. The ein derech l'sochto, and you don't have to go and squeeze it. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us, when you have these honeycombs that had already been chopped up on Erev Shabbos, and the honey comes out on its own, the yotzu mi'atzmon, nevertheless, in this situation, the Tanna Kama says it's osur. Why is that? So Rashi explains, we make a gzera here, chacham osrin gzera otu she'ena meruskin d'murasiklu. If we let you go and use the honey that comes out from the ones that were crushed before Shabbos, so then you may come to crush some on Shabbos. So the rabbis made a gzera. Rabbi Eliezer is the gear said that it should be. We have Rabbi Elazar, but sorry, it says it should be Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is matu. He says, no, you are allowed to do this. We don't make such a gzera. Mara starts off and goes back to the case in the ratio of the Mishnah with the barrel. So Tana, we learned in the Braisa, lo yisvuk b'yayin. You're not allowed to go and put a sponge there and have the water drip into the sponge because we're concerned that you'll come to squeeze the wine from the sponge. Now, lo yitafach b'shemen. Likewise, a person shouldn't go take, if this was oil that came out, you couldn't put your hand into the oil, and then with your oily hand, return the oil back into the kli. Because this is the way you would do it on a weekday. This was the proper way that somebody would clean this on a weekday, and therefore this is called Uvdin the Chol. Rashi tells us, this is a famous Isser, that if it's too much like a weekday activity, the rabbi is prohibited. It's the rabbanis, not it's the raisa. Work continues by quoting the following braisa. Tana Rabbanan, Ispazu lo peros b'chotzer, if you have fruit that dropped and it's spread out all over the chotzer, so it's not a problem of carrying. Malakit ayad ayad, you'll have to pick one up at a time, v'ochel, and eat it. However, avolo l'tol chasai, you're not allowed to go pick them up, even one at a time, and put them into a basket. Because this looks like uvda d'chol. This is the way you would do this on a weekday, and therefore, you're not allowed to do it in this fashion. So Misha says, you can't put it avolo l'tol chasai, you can't put it into a basket, v'lo l'tol chakupa, and you can't put it into some sort of another container, a chest of some sort, into a box of some sort, that you're not allowed to do either. Why? Shlo yaseh, but they have again, uvdu the chol. This is too much like the weekday activity. Then the Mishnah says, ein sochetin as haperos. The Mishnah said, you're not allowed to squeeze the fruits. And we explained, according to the Tanna Kamma, no matter what, if the fruits come out, if the juices come out of the fruit, you're not allowed to use it. And reviewed it, qualified it, said it depends on what the purpose of the fruit was. If it was a fruit that was for eating, and the juice came out, you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to have that juice. But if it was a fruit that was made for squeezing, then you can't have the juices. So Gemara says, I'm reviewed, the name of Shmuel. Modai Rav Yehuda l'chachamim b'zeisim yanovim. The Rav Yehuda shita, that you are allowed to have juices from fruits that came out on their own, if the fruit was made for eating, says that doesn't apply, Rav Yehuda's moda, if it's olives or grapes, which even though this person was making them for eating, so therefore, by his rule, if the olive oil or the grape juice comes out on its own, since these were for eating purposes, you should be allowed to use those juices. Nevertheless, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that our Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, says that the Chachamim are correct in this situation because most people have the olives and the grapes for their juices, and this person may change his mind. My Taima, given the L'schitin, and since most people use olives and grapes for their juices, so once it comes out on its own, therefore, the L'schit and Inu, Yoiv Daiti, he's going to change his mind. And therefore, he's going to say, you know, Taka, I was going to eat them, but now it's already started to come out, I'll continue to squeeze it. And a person may forget himself and continue to squeeze it. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, according to the Amora, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that even in this situation where the olives and the grapes were for eating purposes, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, would be moda, like the Chachamim, that you can't have the juice that comes out of its own. That's the opinion of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. But Ula Amar Rab, Ula, whoever said the name of Rab, no, even in this situation, Cholokai Rabbi Yehuda, Af B'zeisim Anover. No, Rabbi Yehuda Lishitaso says, if the olives and grapes were not for squeezing purposes, they were for eating purposes, so then if the juice comes out on its own, we're not concerned you're going to squeeze it more because you intended to eat them. And therefore, you're allowed to have the juice that they've come out. So machlokes between Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel and Ula Amar Rav as to whether Rav Yehuda's din applies even in Zaysim and Anovim. Then Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan says, halacha, that we paskin like Rav Yehuda bishar peros, in regards to all other fruits. However, bein halacha Rav Yehuda b'zeis v'navim, but we don't paskin like Rav Yehuda in regards to the zeis v'navim. So this is neither like Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, nor like it's Ula Amar Rav. It, in fact, says that there is a machlokas across the board, like Ula Amar Rav, but it breaks up how we paskin. And we paskin here in some situation like the Chachamim, by grapes and by olives, and the other situations, Rav Yochanan says we paskin like Rav Yehuda, except in the grapes and the olives and all other fruit. So that's a different shita. That's Rav Yochanan's shita. A different shita, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Here we have Rabba saying in the name of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Before we had just Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Here's Rabba in the name of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. He says, Moda hayar Rav Yehuda lechachamim v'zeisim v'anavim. However, he adds on, it's not different than the first opinion, it just completes the first opinion. He says, Umodim chachamim Rav Yehuda b'shar perus. But the chachamim Umoda, that if the fruits were made for eating purposes, and some liquid comes out, so even the Chachamim would say in that situation that you're allowed to have that juice. We're not concerned that you're going to squeeze these other fruits, which normally aren't squeezed, and here specifically were used for eating purposes. So Rav Yehuda is moda to the Chachamim for Zesim and Anabim, and the Chachamim moda Rav Yehuda Bishar Peros. So one says, then Amalei Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Abba. So Rav Yirmiyah said to Rav Abba, so what's the machlokas then? El my plegi, if each one is molded to the other, so then there's no machlokas over here. So what's going on? So Amalei, Rav Abba says back to Rav Yirmiyah, l'chi tishkach, go out and find and learn, and you'll see that there is an answer over here. When you find the answer, then you'll know the answer. Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, you know what the answer is? Mistabra betusim v'rimonim plige. You have three categories of fruit. You have grapes and olives, which are normally used for their juices, and you have shar peros, other than grapes and olives, and other than tutim and rimonim, which are berries and pomegranates. So all other fruits in those days were not used for their juices. And then you have tutsim and rimonim that sometimes are used for the juices and sometimes are not used for the juices. And therefore, there's this middle category, and in the middle category, that's where Rav Yehuda, the Tana, and the Chacham have the machlokas. You're right. According to Rabbah, Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, they all agree in the grapes and olives that since most people use their juices, that even if you're intending to use them for food, if the juices come out, you may come to squeeze it more. They all agree to that. And all agree that if you have other types of fruits, which they did not use for juices ever, and almost all the time they were used for the fruit itself, so even in that situation, if some juice came out, we're allowing you to use that juice according to everybody. There is no concern you come to squeeze more. And the only machlokas between them is whether you're dealing with berries and pomegranates, which rule applies. There you have the machlokas with Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rav Yehuda says, this is exactly like Shar Peros, and the Chachamim say, no, this is like grapes and olives. And where do we see this in the Tanya? We have this in the Brisa. Zeisim, if you have olives, Shemoshach Mehem Shemen, from which you have oil that came out on its own. Or you have Anovim, you have grapes, Shemoshach Mehem Yayim, and you have wine, grape juice, that came out on its own. Now, what was your original purpose? You originally, V'chnisa, and you originally put them in, it doesn't make a difference why you were originally intending to have these grapes or olives, whether it was for their juices or whether it was to eat them. The Brisa states, Hayotze mehen osur. Whatever comes out is osur. However, tutim, you have these berries, shemoshach mehemayim, that some juice comes out from these berries. Or you have rimoni, you have pomegranates, shemoshach mehemayim, that some wine came out from them. So in this situation, it depends. V'chnisan li'ochlin, if you put them in for eating purposes, you originally brought them into your house to have them as berries and as pomegranates and as solids to eat the fruit. So then, hayosim in mutter. Anything that comes out from them, juice that comes out from them, is also considered mutter to eat. However, if you brought them into your house to have berry juice or pomegranate juice, lamashkin, that was your purpose of bringing them in, or listam, it says you didn't have any intention when you brought it in, so the default position is that it's like mashkin. Therefore, Hayotze mehen osur, divrei Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda holds that if you brought them in for eating, for solid purposes, the berries and the pomegranates, then if juice comes out, it's the din like shar peros, and you're allowed to have this juice. But if you brought them in stam, and certainly if you brought them in for the juice purpose is, any juice that comes out is also because we're concerned you come to squeeze it more. That's the opinion of Yehuda. And the Chum say, no, doesn't make any difference. This is where the Machlokas is. The Chum say, even if you brought it in for Ochlin purposes, and certainly if you brought it in for Mashkin purposes, or Stam, Bein Ochlin, Bein Mashkin, Hayotzi, Bein Mosvi, they sell this is like grapes and olives, that it's enough of a concern, even if you brought it in for eating purposes, that you may come to squeeze it once some juices come out. Now, that's clearly the machlokas, according to this fourth understanding, the understanding of Rabba, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. That's the understanding that their machlokas between the Chacham and the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, is only in the Tutim and the Rimonim. What we saw in this Brisa is that the default position is that it's like Mashkim. So Gemara asked that, Besover Yehuda, Stam, also, are you really holding Rabbi Yehuda that the Stam position, if the person brought it in without specifying it, I'm doing this to eat the berries and the pomegranates, or I'm doing it to have pomegranate juice or berry juice. If he didn't say anything, we treat it like it was juice? Really? The Savri Yehuda Stam Osir? But not. But we learned in the Mishnah, in Machshirin, but not. It says there in the Mishnah, in Machshirin, Chalev O'isha Metame L'Rotzo V'Shalo L'Rotzo. It doesn't make any difference. If the mother's milk, if the woman's milk comes out, whether it came out intentionally, she squeezed it out, or whether it came out on its own, it just came out of her, this chalav that comes out of the women, chalav isha, is metame l'rotzom shelo l'rotzom. It's going to be able to be makabel tumah. It's considered important and significant, so therefore it is one of the zayim mashkim, and it can accept tumah. However, chalav behema, you have the milk of an animal, so that is not considered a significant beverage, ain't a metame el l'rotzom, unless you milk the animal. But any milk that comes out of the udder of the animal, that if it came out unintentionally, so that milk is not makabel tumah. It's not considered a significant drink. As opposed to, if you milked it, it will. Now, that's the opinion of the Tana Kama in this Mishnah, in Machshirin. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Amar Rabbi Akiva, he says, it's a kabel chomer. If the milk of the mother is metame, whether it's l'ratzon or shalol l'ratzon, certainly the milk of the behema should be metame, whether it's l'ratzon or shalol l'ratzon. It's a kabel chomer. What's a kabel chomer? The cholov of the woman, she'eino miyuchot elektarim. Who drinks mother's milk? Only babies drink mother's milk. And nevertheless, we say it's metame, l'rotzo shelo l'rotzo, whether it came out intentionally or whether it came out unintentionally, it's considered a beverage, even though normally you only have babies that drink this. So, chalev ha-behema, the milk, the cholov of a behema, which is miyuchot, everybody has milk. Young kids, old kids, everybody has milk. There's no difference. Adults have milk. Children have milk. So therefore, certainly, if the mother's milk, which is not for everybody, is matame l'rotzon shelo l'rotzon, kavu chomer, ain't no din. Shitame bein l'rotzon bein shelo l'rotzon. The milk of an animal, the cholov of the cow, should certainly be matame no matter what. That's the kavu chomer the Rebbe Kiva says back to the Tana Kama. So what do the Chachom say? So Amulo, they responded back to Rebbe Akiva. No. The reason why the milk of a woman that comes out, even though the milk is only for ketanim, but we say that nevertheless, even if it comes out shelo l'rotzon, it's metame, is because there's another stringency that women have over animals. Shadam magefasa tome, the blood that comes out of a woman's wound, we're not talking about need the blood, but she has a wound, and the blood that comes out is also capable of being metame. That's one of the seven mashkim. That dam is considered one of the seven mashkim. So therefore, since she has a stringency in regards to blood, so therefore, with metame, her milk under all situations. But that stringency is not found by an animal. Yetame chalev habehema, are you going to make the milk of an animal, tome, under all situations? Shalol rotzon, because the dam of an animal, shadam magefaso, is tar. That's not considered one of the zayin mashkim. And therefore, you can't have your kal v'chomer because they're not equivalent. The reason why a woman, the milk that comes out from her is metame l'rotzon, shelo l'rotzon, is because her blood is metame under all circumstances, as opposed to the behema, the blood of the behema that comes out from a magefa is not considered a liquid, and it's not metame, it's tar. That's why the Chacham say, Rabbi Kiva, your kal v'chomer is no good. Rabbi Kiva responds to him. On the letter, Rabbi Kiva says back to the Chachamim, no. Machmer ani b'cholav mi b'dam. I think we should be more machmer on the cholav than on the dam. Why is that? Shahacholev l'refuah tome. Because if you milk the animal to have milk come out for medicinal purposes, so the milk is makabel tumah. That milk is considered significant. However, hamak is l'refuah. But if you take out blood for refuah, that blood is not considered dam maga fosa, and that dam is considered tar. So therefore, my kavachomer is restored. Hamek is l'refuah is tar. it's different. The blood is not as strong as the chalav, so therefore chalav is the more important one, and therefore the behema, which is chalav, is used for both adults and for children. It should be metame, no matter what, whether it's l'ratzon or shalol l'ratzon. That's the more important part, is the chalav rather than the dam part. And therefore, my kavachomer is restored. That's what Rabbi Akiva tells back to the Chachamim. They don't accept this. Amlo, the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Akiva, Sali zeisim v'anovim yochichu. No, I'll prove it to you from our case over here of baskets of olives and baskets of grapes. What's the proof? Shamashkin ayotzimhen. If you have the oil or the wine that comes out from such olives or grapes, so it depends. L'ratzon, if you want that to come out, so then tmeim, then it is considered significant and it's mekabel tuma. It's considered one of the zayim mashkim. However, if the olives or the grapes inside the basket, you didn't want the grape juice or the olive oil to come out, shalol l'ratzon, so then it's not mekabel tuma. It's not going to be one of the zayim mashkim that could be machshir something to be mekabel tuma. So therefore, you see, it depends on what the owner wants. And you can't tell me that the chalav is important for adults and children, and therefore it automatically is matami. No, you see, that your intention is the critical thing. So the chalav that came out unintentionally is therefore not going to be matami. That's what they respond back to Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara says, let's make sure we understand this case of the Sali Zeisin and the Anovim. That's the proof that the chalav said that Rabbi Akiva is wrong. My love, isn't this case talking about where when it comes out l'ratzon, it means denichale, that means that you want it, and when it says shalol l'ratzon, it means bistama, that you didn't have any desire one way or the other, you didn't say anything specific. So we see that the lo l'ratzon means that you didn't have anything in mind. That's the stam position. And now we finally get to the question that we said, does Rav Yehuda hold stam, right? Rav Yehuda, in the Omer Beis, we said his stam position for the Tutim and the Rimonim was the stam position is like Mashkin. So now we finally get to our question. So olives and grapes are something that are normally used for squeezing for the juices. So therefore, shalo l'ratzon v'lo klum. So in the case of the baskets, when the wine comes out and the oil comes out, and we said shalo l'ratzon, the stam position is shalol l'ratzon means that it is not going to be mekabel tuma. So certainly the tusin and rimonim, the lav be'sritin inu lo kol shekein. So certainly the pomegranates and the berries in the pomegranates, which are not normally used for squeezing like the olives and the grapes are. So certainly it would be that the stam position would be considered lo l'ratzon. So how can you tell me that the stam position by the tusin and rimonim is like mashkim? It shouldn't be like mashkim. It should be like salas. You don't want it. So therefore, that's the stira. How can you tell me that Rav Yehuda says that stam position of tusim and rimonim is like mashkim? It shouldn't be. So Gemara says, no. When we said over here, lo l'ratzon, in the case of the sale anovim and the sale zesim, we meant lo l'ratzon meant bistama, shalo l'ratzon the gali adaite. It's not stam. When he says stama, it meant that he specified that he gali adaita, he specified the omer, he said, lo nichli, I don't want it. So in that situation, that's when we say lo l'ratzon means that he doesn't want it. But the stam position, if he doesn't specify anything, so then it would be considered mashkim. As Rashi points out, the gali daite, behedya, he specified the omer, lo nichli, I do not want this juice. And therefore, that's even more than saying that he brought it in for Oakland. He said specifically, I do not want the juices. And in that situation, there is no machlokis over here. We can understand Rav Yehuda being perfectly in accord with the brisa of the Sali Zesim and the Sali Anovim. That's teretz number one. Alternatively, everybody is saying, shiny Sali Zesim Anovim. No, the case with the baskets of the olives or the grapes where the juice came out, so therefore, kiven de le'ibud kaime. You put it in a wicker basket. You put it in a basket that juice will not be collected in. So therefore, meikara, right l'chatchila, right up front, afkure mafkure l'hu. You've essentially admitted that you don't want this, and therefore, anything that comes out is by definition shalol l'ratzon. That's, so to say, doing it with your hands. You specifically are showing and demonstrating that you want no benefit from that whatsoever because it's going to ooze right through. So what better way of showing that it's worthless to you and that you don't want it? And therefore, in that situation, it's not considered a beverage, it's not matame, and that's the second way to reconcile this. Since we're coming up on Tisha B'Av this coming week, I thought we would, obviously we don't learn the Daf Yomi on Tisha B'Av, so I thought we would try to pick up a half a day's Daf today. It's a relatively short Daf, so we'll go a little bit weiter. We'll pick up the other half Daf on one of the other days, so this way people won't have to worry about how they're going to do the Daf on Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara continues and says, Ashkechon Rav Yehuda, the Modi L'Rabbanim, B'Zeh Simbi Anavim. We've now shown the case. Remember, we have the opinion of Rabbah, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, that the Chachamim were molded to Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda was molded to Chachamim in the two extremes, and they only argued about the Tutin and the Rimonim. So we've already given the example where the Rabbanan are, Rav Yehuda is molded to the Rabbanan in regards to the Zeis and the Anavim. But we said as well that the Rabbanan were molded to Rav Yehuda regarding Shar Peres. So where do we find that? Rabbanan, the Modi, Leila Rav Yehuda, Bishar Peres, Minolim. Shmuel says that's a Brisa, the Tanya. The Brisa states, Sochatin, and we turn to Yom Days, Sochatin, Befigin, Ubefrishin, Ubeuzardin. You're allowed to go and squeeze these types of fruits. Pigin are translated as plums. Rashi says prunes, but it doesn't mean prunes, it means plums. The frishin are something that's translated, Rashi says a kfindunitz, which is normally translated as quinces. And the uzardin is something that's translated with a foreign language word, and it's normally translated as sorb apples. So these are all of them, delav urchayu b'hochi. We normally don't squeeze these for their juices. Vein kamishum dash, and there is no concern, therefore, of dash, that you're taking out the juice from the original product. So therefore, in these three types of fruits, the Chachamim agree that there is no concern about the juices because they're not normally squeezed. Avalobi Rimonim. As opposed to the Rimonim, they say that you're not allowed to because the Rimonim are sometimes squeezed. So here we have the Braisa that is fully in support of the Chachamim being mode to Rabbi Yehuda, Bishar Peres, meaning the Pigin, the Frishin, and the Uzardin. As Rashi says, not by Rimonim. Avalobi Rimonim. Duruchayim Bahochi, because they were sometimes squeezed, or it was normal to squeeze them. The Gemara brings additional support for this idea. Where it says, in the house of Menashe bar Menachem, Mishal base Menashe bar Menachem, they would go, in fact, and squeeze pomegranates. So this was clearly evident that some people squeeze pomegranates. Where it says, who says that this opinion, though, is the opinion of the Chachamim? Maybe this is the opinion of Yehuda. It doesn't give a name over here, so why are we assuming this is the Chachamim? Maybe this is of Yehuda, Lishitaso, but the Chachamim disagree with it. Where it says, Vitehebe nami Rabbi Yehuda. So even if it is Rav Yehuda's opinion, what do we see? Ema the Shamas Leila Rav Yehuda Yotzu Me'atzman Sochatin L'Chatchila Mishamaslei. Even if you want to say the Rav Yehuda says that you're allowed to go and take these juices when they came out on their own, so that's what we said that Rav Yehuda says you're allowed to use it. But who ever said that you're allowed to be Sochatin L'Chatchila? It's only if Yotzu Li'atzman that it's permissible according to Rav Yehuda. Sochatin L'Chatchila Mishamaslei. He doesn't say you're allowed to do this L'Chatchila. Ella, what are you going to say? Therefore, you have a problem. Ella, you're going to say, Kiv de labne schita ninu afilu l'chatchila. You must say over here, because this is l'chatchila, it says you're allowed to go and squeeze them. Sochet, it doesn't say that the juices came out. So you must say here that since this is something that is not normally done with schita, since you normally do not drink the juices of these types of fruits, the shar peres, the fig, and the frishin, and the uzardin, since they're not normally squeezed, so then l'chatchila, you're allowed to squeeze them. Since they're not b'nei schita, afilu l'chatchila, you're allowed to squeeze them. So once you're saying this, who says it has to be Rav Yehuda? Afilu l'chatchila Rabbanim. This could even be the opinion of the Rabbanim. Kiv the la b'nei schita ninu. Even the chachamim mode of something that's not normally gone and have it being squeezed for juices, even the Chachamim say, Abil Chachila, the Chachamim also agree, Shmamina Rabbani, this is in fact a good proof, Shmamina. This is in fact a riot. Now we have both opinion that shows that the Chachamim are molded Rav Yehuda by Shar Peros. We previously had the opinion that Rav Yehuda is molded the Chachamim by Anovim and Zeisim, and the only place they have Machlokas is Tusim and Rimonim. With this, we conclude today's shir.